Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Hour two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. As always, a delight to be behind the microphone here and chat with you. I love this article on the Daily Caller today because it really dives into some of the insanity of this unraveling on the left. And like I said, as a former television news anchor and reporter for many, many years, and now with my own show on Newsmax, I see the media at a different level maybe than some people because I was deeply entrenched in it for years. And all you are seeing is the full unabashed outing of activist journalism. And it's really unfortunate to see how this field has devolved and how few sources we can really rely on. But just like Donald Trump ended up going around all of the gags, all of the silencing and the censoring being kicked off of this platform and that platform, that's happened to me. To certainly a much lesser degree, because I don't have anywhere near the following as somebody of Donald Trump's stature, if you will. But you find alternate ways to speak with people. You create different avenues of communication. You create a better mousetrap. You create an alternate economy. And people will find you. Which is why it's funny to me that the Washington Post lost $100 million last year. Is that surprising to anybody? It's not to me. Because people have awakened. They're seeing, they're hearing. And the Daily Caller is talking about it. This is your headline. MSNBC host and legal analyst meltdown over the quote-unquote danger of Trump's chilling rhetoric after the latest gag order. Donald Trump is the greatest thing for media business ever. When he quote unquote lost the revenues, the ratings, all of it for CNN cratered. They crashed 90%, which is why everybody's like, what's happening? What's going on over there? Why are so many people like Chris Wallace? Why is Anderson Cooper, Jake Tapper? Why are these people on the alleged chopping block? Because nobody's watching. Nobody's listening. Nobody wants to read the Washington Post beat garbage into you every day. But these people can't get out of their way. And the Daily Caller calls it out. And it's legendary. And we've got several audio sound bites for you. Let me set it up. MSNBC host Nicole Wallace. Woman is just out there, guys. She's out there. She is like Rachel Maddow in the embodiment of the white college-educated liberal woman who just sucks. I don't know how else to put it. And it's tragic. And I hope there's therapy, truly, for the derangement. But it's delivered in a very interesting way. There is a sanctimony. There is a holier-than-thou pulpit from which they preach. There is a softening of the voice in an attempt to lure you in, as they then have no other recourse than to expose themselves for being completely triggered and deranged. And you're about to hear it. So Nicole Wallace and this legal analyst, Andrew Weissman, expressed worry about former President Donald Trump's rhetoric following a judge issuing a gag order against him yesterday. This is the same judge we've been talking about, Juan Merchan, who's overseeing Trump's New York hush money case, which is so dumb. It's yet another stupid waste of money. When there's so much actual crime, so many people actually suffering, that our justice system, that the legal profession could be going after to right, to remedy, to repair in some capacity. They don't. Single focus, Trump. So he's issued this order preventing the former president from making statements about witnesses, prosecutors other than the district attorney, court staff, their families, prospective jurors, all of it. Wallace and Weissman discussed the implications of the order on the U.S. presidential election on deadline. White House. Bum, bum, bah. Sounds very important. Well, let's hear what they said. Here is Nicole Wallace. We got two from her and two from this Weissman guy. You know, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that all of the men that are in the left's camp that come out of the woodwork on MSNBC or on CNN are these very effeminate, weasel weak men. They are just not the manly guy that you like to hear from. They're affected. They're limp, flaccid, if you will, and triggered. And it's just a gross look, like bleh. Here's Nicole Wallace setting it up. She's going to try to tell her audience, Donald Trump is, I mean, forget all of these people crossing the border, all of these young men coming across by themselves, military age dudes. I mean, that's not the worry. That's not a clear and present danger. There is but one. It is the epitome of present danger. Here it is. Go.
I don't want to go one more minute without saying this should never feel normal. Someone who was the country's president and someone who would like to be given that privilege again represents such an imminent. Judge Luttig's testimony on January 6th is clanging in my head. Donald Trump is a clear and present danger. Clearly, this judge, Andrew Weissman, thought he was a clear and present danger to his trial.
Fear, fear, fear. You need to be afraid. If we can't get you with a virus and we can't get you with an insurrection, then we're just going to get you with one guy. He's crazy. He's unhinged. He's unstable. He's not to be trusted. Can you imagine what he might have stolen from the White House? Does he have the nuclear codes? Is it safe for us to give him classified briefings as the candidate that's likely going to move ahead and do this? Oh, no. It's so dumb. And she's clutching her pearls and nobody's buying it. And her roots are worse than mine. So that's all that matters. Here comes Andrew Weissman to the rescue. Very effeminate. He's going to tell you what's really going on. And it's just scary. Listen.
It is so chilling that you have yet another judge saying about, it's not somebody who not only was the former president, but is now the leading Republican candidate, that this is what the country has come to. When history is written, they will look at this in terms of a real fight for the soul of our country and in terms of what the judiciary has had to do to stand up to a real attack on what it means to be American, what it means to have a rule of law in this country.
Dude, what are you talking about? They muzzled Donald Trump, and you guys are sitting here defending it. You're supposed to be the people who are protectors of facts. You're supposed to be the tellers of truth, not the leading propagandists of a globalist movement, the likes of which makes me physically ill. Andrew Weissman, you affected man. You're saying that, oh my gosh, what a threat. Somebody being able to speak. Huh. I can't imagine the danger. This is where we are. This guy was a former freaking DOJ official. Are we shocked? Anybody out there, you're like, I can't imagine what the hell's going on with this place. Really? He's not done. Let's clutch some more pearls. He's going to say, thank goodness this judge is just, it's so strong and stepping up to protect democracy and to silence this evil monster. Listen to Crazy Town. Go.
Judge Marchand should be lauded for doing this. As he said, one of the quotes from his decision is, I do not need to wait essentially until the violence has occurred to take action. And it's also notable that he issued this not as to all parties. He issued this gag order as to the one person before him who has shown that he has the propensity to do this and has done this in the past. That is Donald Trump. That is the exclusive scope of this gag order. And that is the person who used to be the president of the United States. And that is a sign of where we are as a country and what this election means to this country.
Wow. And then you can hear almost like she's moaning. Nicole Wallace in the background goes, oh, but she's going to say something. And I gotta hold it for you after this break, okay? Because it's going to parrot almost exactly the vibe that you got from Rachel Maddow in the first hour. You don't think this stuff is all scripted? You don't think these people have talking points presented to them by the DNC? Of course they do. And like dutiful soldiers, they deliver. I'll share it with you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So this is one of the talking points, of course, is that you, if you are MAGA, you're just a grain of sand going through the hourglass. You are just that beach ball at sea, bobbing along. You are hypnotized. You are entranced by Donald Trump. He is the Pied Piper, and you cannot resist. Priming your people. That is what Rachel Maddow said in the first hour. We played her audio soundbite for you. As she was nervously, though, sanctimoniously talking about how all of this talk about 2020, the big lie, if you will, is to create these seeds of distrust in the electoral process so something even bigger can happen in 2024. Well, she's setting the breadcrumbs for you. And here's Nicole Wallace dropping her own little tidbits of suck along the path with her. She's going to say, of course, that you've been brainwashed, that they need to be so concerned about the violence Donald Trump is calling for that you clearly, through his dog whistle, have been picking up on. It's gross and it's delivered in that very liberal way that makes me want to throat punch a lot of people. Go.
You know, Andrew, I worry so much that talking about political violence can now fall along partisan lines. You know, why isn't the concern of political violence a bipartisan concern? Why doesn't everybody see the danger and the direct line between what Trump says and what his followers do?
You see, we are aware of the political violence because we watched it on January 6th, you snit. How dare you sit there and try to pretend as though you should be preaching to us? We saw, we know. Knock it off. I don't know how much more clear I can be. So let's talk about the swing states, shall we? It's always a good way to cool down my ire. Breitbart.com headline, Donald Trump leading Biden and third-party opponents in 6 of 7 key swing states. This is actually a really great article, and it's long. I'm not going to get to all of it, but I want to hit the highlights for you. Every single thing they're trying to do to this guy, the exact opposite is going. They want to turn you off. They want to do exactly what all of the women who've come out of the woodwork saying, Donald Trump did this to me. Ignore Tara Reid, right? Don't think about Bill Clinton being a filthy scumbag. Talk about Donald Trump. All of these women, they can't all be lying, can they? Yeah. Yeah, they can. They want to embarrass us. They want to confuse you. They want to shame you and guilt you into voting for somebody who's demented. Ain't gonna happen. Former President Donald Trump leading now President Joe Biden and the rest of his likely general election opponents in 6 of 7 critical swing states. This is according to the Morning Consult Bloomberg News poll. It was just released hours ago. I know we're very cutting edge here. Showing Trump ahead of Biden and the third party candidates in every single swing state except for Michigan. Now, isn't that interesting? Because yesterday we were talking about Harry Enten, one of my many boyfriends, on CNN flapping his arms at the monitor being like, oh, Donald Trump's beating Joe Biden by 8 points in Michigan. Like, what's going on? Now, this poll says he's winning 6 out of 7 except Michigan. Therein lies our trepidation to put too many eggs in just one singular basket. But let's talk about this. According to this Morning Consult Bloomberg News poll of Trump, Biden, RFK Jr., West Stein matchup, in the swing states, in North Carolina, Donald Trump is now up by 6. Pennsylvania. Huh. Donald Trump up by 6. What? Arizona. Donald Trump up by 6. Nevada, Trump up by 6. Georgia, Trump up by 7. Up by 7 at the epicenter of all of the Fulton County garbage. And the people of that state see exactly what's going on. Wisconsin, Trump up by 2. Michigan, a tie. And here's the interesting thing. And this is why I encourage you to go to our locals page, locals.com, and then put in Wendy Bell Radio. We put up every day, Brock does, put up the entire rundown with all of the links to the stories that I talk about so you can get into the nuance of it. This particular article talks about third-party candidates absolutely destroying Joe Biden. This is why, of course, the knives are out for RFK Jr. And in despicable, classless fashion, this is exactly why Joe Biden, the White House, the Secret Service, have denied RFK Jr. Secret Service protection. They hope something happens to him because he's a threat. Look, when you've got something to run on, you don't run only on smearing your candidate. You tout yourself. Joe's got nothing in the tank, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, the media's Ronna McDaniel meltdown shows how sleazy the news really is. Don't miss it next. You've got to enjoy with, I don't know, it doesn't make me feel guilty. It's so delightful to watch the media lose their mind in concert over something stupid. Now, I am no Ronna McDaniel fan. I've never liked her. Doesn't matter what I think. She was the head of the RNC. She was a lousy head of the RNC. She does not represent our values. She is an embodiment of swampishness, if you will. However, I believe everybody deserves to be heard. Everybody deserves the opportunity to speak and to have people choose if they want to hear them. That is what this show is all about today. It's somebody other than you determining what you are allowed to know and to determine whose voice is allowed to deliver that message. That's totally contrary to the idea, to the spirit of the First Amendment. Because as much of a dirtbag as I think Ronna McDaniel is, I think it would have been fine for her to get a job on MSNBC or NBC News or whatever she might have been on. I think having panels that have different voices, different opinions, when people can sit and communicate and do so in a non-confrontational fashion, I think it's hugely beneficial. I don't believe that we need to all be in an echo chamber. I don't believe homogenized thinking is good for anybody. And quite frankly, it is with very humble admittance that I tell you, I was woefully asleep until Palm Sunday of 2020. And then I opened my eyes and I started to see what was going on with a clarity that took an awful lot, to be honest with you, over the last 4 years to hone and to share with you. But the media's meltdown over NBC, the people at NBC saying, you know what, maybe we'll bring her on. How is it any different than Jen Psaki being hired straight out of the Biden administration by MSNBC? How is that any different? It's not. But it is, because Ronna McDaniel has her toes over in the Republican Party, in the water. And that's a clear present danger. We have a group of people in this country, your liberal, progressive, socialist, communist, Marxist, left, who truly fundamentally think you are a threat, which is so weird, so unfortunate. These are the people who demonized the Oath Keepers. You know, and I'm going to just quickly say something to you guys. So we stayed late yesterday here in the studio after the show was done, because we were going to take a phone call from the Oath Keepers founder, Stuart Rhodes. And there are certain rules from his prison that we have to abide by. And something happened in translation where we couldn't connect the call and plug it into the board and record an interview with him, right? So Brock and I said, all right, well, let's go home. We'll try to regroup. We'll try a different day. Went our separate ways. My phone rings in the car. It's Stuart Rhodes. This is a man who has every reason to be bitter, to be angry, to carry a grudge, to be consumed by darkness, to woe is me, to be a victim, to shout about it to anybody who will listen. And do you know who he is instead? Which makes perfect sense, because he's the guy who started the Oath Keepers. These are men who served in the military, who left the military at some point, but who didn't leave or break that oath. The idea that there is something out there always worth protecting, being on guard for, being vigilant against, being organized, just in case. That is what the Oath Keepers are. That is what they were on January 6th. And they were used as part of the trap in an effort to destroy Donald Trump. Stuart Rhodes from prison is not a broken man. He is not a hopeless man. He is not angry. He is not bitter. He is determined. And he feels that his ridiculous sentence, years and years and years and years of his life, for what? He believes that he is part of history. And much like our founding fathers were people who fought in the Revolutionary War or the Civil War for what they believed in, which set up this constitutional republic to be this place that it is. The envy of the world. He believes it's his time. And if that means it costs him his freedom, for him to serve in that capacity, to maintain that oath, then so be it. Can you imagine feeling that way? Yeah, I can. I want to play for you some sound about NBC bagging Ronna McDaniel, right? So there's the the head of NBC. He sends out a memo to the staff. I'm so sorry. I should have listened to you. He's another weak, wussy dude out there on the left. All of the people at MSNBC who went absolutely nutty over Ronna McDaniel have succeeded now in getting her fired before she even got started. Her thought, her ideas, her whatever is just so dang dangerous that we can't have her. These are not people who care about the freedom of speech. They care about controlling you. And that's all it is. Chris Cuomo, got to cue him up here. So he's on News Nation, right? He's in a double box. He's got Geraldo on. If you want to be irrelevant right there, boom, done. Mission accomplished. My brother. All right? He's going to sit there, though, and he's going to call out the media's hypocrisy, which I think is delicious because it's so dang hypocritical just on its face. Do two hypocrites zero each other out? I mean, is that like a mathematical equation? Let's find out. Here's Chris Cuomo.
NBC hires her. I'm sure other people were trying to get her, but now everybody's mad. Now, this happens in the media. Somebody hires somebody that other people would have hired as well, but they attack the place that hired her. But this is coming in-house. Big shots inside NBC. Like Morning Joe co-host Mika Brzezinski. She said this.
And we hope NBC will reconsider its decision. It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe in her capacity as a paid contributor.
Look, I have no beef, but it was okay for you, Mika, and Joe to have Trump on all the time and to talk to him about what questions to ask, right? When it was working for you, when he was running, right? When you guys were all pals, that was okay, right? You didn't have any problem with that, right? Just because you went bad on him when it became convenient because you work at a lefty outlet, this is okay. Now you can be high-minded about it, right? The hypocrisy reeks.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Chris. Pot, kettle, black. Really? You want to talk to us about hypocrisy? Really? You had a giant cotton swab as a prop when you were yucking it up with your brother during COVID, making fun? You who skipped the line and got tested and got all of this stuff before other people in New York did? You who lied about being quarantined in your basement and then tried to threaten a bicyclist who saw you outside and knew you should have been quarantined and call you out on it? You want to lecture us about hypocrisy? Now that's rich. Now this is where the ego comes in. And I realize I am a trained professional here as a former television news anchor and reporter. But you don't need to have any kind of knowledge of inside television baseball to listen to Chris Cuomo desperately try to sound big. Listen.
Now you see the bias at play, especially when it comes to Mika and Joe. I was against them in the morning at CNN, and I still beat them twice, even with them having Trump on all the time. And you remember the tape that came out, Geraldo, of them in break asking Trump about what questions to ask next and how they were going to do their next segment of the town hall. And nobody got upset about it. It was there and gone because all the reporters want to be on their show in the morning. But now they have standards about what's right and what's wrong. It's all advantage. It's all hypocrisy.
Does anybody else out there thoroughly enjoy this? I mean, this is almost like the full circle. When the circle of suck comes around and meets itself, that's Chris Cuomo with Geraldo, okay? But wait, he's not done yet. Because here's highly partisan, Hacky McHackmore, Chris Cuomo, over on News Nation, trying to say, We need to get out of our own camps, right? We need to start hearing different sound points of view, different mouths. We need to all kind of get together and remember what this is all about. Oh boy, go.
Look, I just think that you got to get out of the silos. At least MSNBC, their talent has come out and showing you what they're about. They are not as tolerant on voices. Now you can say, no, these people lie. A lot of people lie. All right, she's coming on. I guarantee you, she would have exposed things. She would explain things in a way that would be satisfying to that audience. You make such a huge mistake when you limit who you talk to being the people who already agree with you. And they're making that mistake, but at least they're letting you know. And I know they're going to come back at me. It's not done with animus. I wish them well. I think Mika Brzezinski cares about what she does. I think that's basically true about Joe Scarborough, too. But you guys did the wrong thing with Trump when it suited you. And now you've gotten religion on it. But remember what you did. You're lucky you didn't get thrown out on your ass because of it. Now you're not according the same sympathies going forward. I just think it's a hypocrisy thing.
Is it awkward to anybody else that not an, at any point in that did Geraldo get an opportunity to say a word? He's just sitting there. It's the perfect display of pathetic. Pathetic. Chris Cuomo is not authentic. Chris Cuomo is desperate for your views, your clicks, your ratings, your likes, your follows, your shares, all of it. I beat them when I was on the morning, Geraldo. Don't forget it. You need to hear. Did you? I did. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, Karine Jean-Pierre, when asked, so, like, for how long has Joe Biden been demented? Oh, wait. It's next. This might be my favorite chunk of the show today because we've got three bang, bang, bang audio sound bites for you, and they're all fantastic. Karine Jean-Pierre is on a radio show in North Carolina, and the host's name is Mark Garrison. And Mark is on the phone with her. This is live radio, and she is not at all pleased with the question that Mark asks her. There is no transparency, of course, because they have no excuse. She's going to try as hard as she can to avoid this question. Does Joe Biden suffer from dementia? Listen.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is a incredibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
No. You're taking us down this rabbit hole. Let me be very clear about this. For the past several years, the president's physician has laid out in a comprehensive way the president's health. This is a president, if you watch him every day, if you really pay attention to his record and what he has done, you will see exactly how focused he's been on the American people, how historic his actions have been. And so I'm not even going to take the premise of your question. I think it is incredibly insulting, and so we can move on to the next question.
Gas prices and grocery prices, then, big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle class family, a working class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for. You have to remember when the president walked into this administration, there were multiple crises happening. There was COVID. There was the economy was in the tailspin because of the last administration, what the President Trump left us with. Now you're asking me about gas prices. The president took action on gas prices. Let's not forget Russia's invasion on Ukraine skyrocketed prices of gas. And because the president took action, we are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices. Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow. Wow.
And she hung up.
Wow.
Brock, that was 2 minutes and 19 seconds. Normally, if you've got somebody on the phone with you in a radio interview, how long do they go?
Oh, we got about 8-9 minutes, sometimes up to 14.
And when President Trump phoned in and surprised us, what'd we do? We pushed him 14, 15?
We were told we had 8, and he talked for 14.
Right. You don't hang up on people.
I was just going to say, Andy invited us.
Yes.
He did not hang up.
Right. And then he had his team call us and invited us to his rally where he wanted to meet us, and he did. Karine Jean-Pierre telling you Joe Biden gets it. Well, let's see what he gets. Let's talk about that bridge, terrible bridge. We're going to talk more about that in the days ahead. Lots to talk about going on in Baltimore. Listen to Joe Biden talking about his knowledge of that bridge that collapsed into the water. Go.
At about 1:30, container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our train or by car.
Oh, by train or by car. He's been over there a lot of times. So he traveled by train that didn't need tracks to operate because there were no tracks on the bridge, Joe. That guy was right. Mark Garrison is absolutely right. It is not offensive at all to say, you know, I'm thinking he's got dementia. Dude is not there. That offends me, says Karine Jean-Pierre, because she wants to be able to control everything, right? So she hangs up. She took her ball and she went home. What a shame. Well, for the guy that she says is in charge, is at the helm, he knows what's going on. Joe Biden is so good. Well, let's hear how good he is when he talks about how good his job has been at reducing our debt. Listen.
I cut the national debt by $1.7 trillion. We literally cut the federal debt in half by $1.4 trillion. $1.7 trillion. $1.7 trillion cut. We cut the debt by $1.7 billion in the last 2 years.
Let me say that again. $1.7 trillion.
I reduced the budget by $1.7 billion. Okay? Reduce the debt.
We cut the federal debt in half. Fact.
In the first 2 years of my administration, I cut the debt by $1.7 trillion.
$1.7 billion.
$1.7 trillion. $1.7 trillion.
$1.7 trillion.
$7 billion.
$1.7 trillion. $1.7 billion. It's a trillion dollars. Not billion, $1 trillion. $1.7 trillion, hear me?
No one's ever reduced the debt that much.
Wow. Is it trillion? Is it billion? I don't know. It keeps going back. It keeps going forth. That is your president of the United States, that creepy lean in and whisper, like, you're going to pay attention to me because I'm going to do this. $1.7 trillion, billion, zillion dollars. I also want to point out what Karine Jean-Pierre said about Joe Biden. He gets it. He gets it. He sat at that kitchen table. He's had to pay his bills. No, he hasn't. He's had Hunter as his freaking bag man. He gets millions of dollars, ladies and gentlemen. His family gets freaking diamonds. Right? He understands what it's like to be you. Sure he does. Anybody out there buying this ridiculous narrative? See, they want to gag Trump, but they want to elevate their own microphones. Fascinating. Hour number 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio program is right on the flip side of this quick commercial break. I'm going to say this. Even stupid people and their opinions should be heard. And that's why we're going to play some Jen Psaki for you. That's next on the Wendy Bell Radio program.